Think about everything that goes on in the world. Think about all that's happening around us. How many things have you read in the news that seem to be negative? I don't know about you, but I haven't seen much good in the news recently. Normally, the news is known for being pretty negative, yes, but it seems more so now than it has in a few years. All over the world, there is constantly something going on. Tyranny, terrorism, massacres, political corruption, financial collapse, riots and wars, environmental disasters, hunger, earthquakes and storms, disease. The world continually is being engulfed with these waves of calamity that we call life. As hard times come, people become desperate, and when they don't know where to turn, there are three responses that the people have. They either bottle it up within themselves, act as if nothing is wrong, and put on a good show to make it look good on the outside so no one knows that they're dealing with difficulties. And on the flip side of that, there are the people that lash out at those who try to help. They snip at the hand that is feeding them, if you will. But then that third party, of when hardships come, they seek after the Lord. And sometimes it's not even people who knew the Lord previously, but it's people who know something about Him. They seek a higher power. They seek something greater than themselves. They seek for purpose in life. And where better to turn than the Lord? The last of those three is the most ideal response to tragedy. We live in a time that is filled with distractions. And sometimes we forget that the generations before us have dealt with and faced hardships just like us. Some far more than we can imagine, some less and some an equal amount. When something bad happens, think about what people do about it today. The most common response is not to deal with the issue head on, but people want to distract themselves. They want to be entertained. They want to go to the TV and turn on their favorite show, watch their favorite movie, so they don't have to think about their issues. Now, don't get me wrong, that definitely is a better response than turning to alcohol or drugs, but it is a distraction nevertheless. And when something bad happens, people nowadays don't want to face the issue head on, but that's nothing new. So how should we, as Christians, deal with hardships? How are we to get through trials of life? For those of you who have seen a whole lot in your life, for those who have lived through wars and those who have even fought in them, you probably know the answer already. Our faith is what we should use to get us through both the good times and especially the bad. If you want to follow along, go ahead and be turning to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, you have the Hall of Fame of Faith, or the heroes of faith that are listed there. And as it says in verse 13 and following, talking about those heroes of faith, these all died in faith, verse 13 and following, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And true, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a, listen to this, better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. He hath prepared for them a city. The believers there have an earnest pining for this better country. And this earnest pining for the better country, for this heavenly place, has been a theme for many hymns throughout the years, many of which we have already covered. In this theme, death is not feared, but instead anticipated. No actions are taken to hurry up the process, but it is waited for from afar, realizing there is something better to come afterwards. The song, "On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand," by Samuel Stennett, is a marvelous example of this kind of attitude. There is a lot of history behind this song, behind the composing and the writing and the publishing that we won't cover today, but to summarize, a whole lot of talented men and women had a great hand in making the song as popular and powerful as it is today. Let's read through those verses of the song, and we'll talk about it more afterwards. And for those of us who know the song, we probably already know all the verses by heart. But if not, keep listening all the more. Verse 1. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand, and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. Verse 2. O'er all those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. Verse 3. When I shall reach that happy place, I'll be forever blessed. For I shall see my Father's face and in his bosom rest. Filled with delight, my raptured soul would here no longer stay. Though Jordan's waves around me roll, fearless I'd launch away. What I love about this song is its joyful and sure conviction of the deliverance that is to come. Something interesting to note is the role that anticipation plays in God's people's lives. Anticipation has always been an important characteristic of God's people. In the Old Testament, they anticipated for the promised land that was promised to Abraham in Genesis 12, 17, and 24. They anticipated the time where they would be able to settle and rest in this happy land, in this plain, in Canaan, where their true possessions lied. And now for us, in the new covenant, we long for, we anticipate greatly, for seeing our Savior's shining face and spending eternity with Him. This song is perfect for lifting up one's spirits in hard times, whether great or small. In anticipation for preaching this lesson, and ever since I added this song to the list of songs that I want to cover during this quarter, I have not been able to stop singing this song. Almost every other hour it pops into my head and I go through it a couple times. When life gets hard, when it seems like you'll lose your job, when family members pass away, when your friends forsake or forget about you, they leave you feeling stranded and alone in your times of need, when your house is foreclosed on, when you get sick or injured, and when you get that bad news from the doctor, when that test comes back with a not so favorable result, in times like those, sing this song. On the flip side, when your parents, when your children, when your friends, and when your family, when your neighbors tell you that they appreciate you for who you are, or in some instances that they love you, when you get a promotion at work, when you get the good news from the doctors that that test came back negative, which is the positive result, which is kind of funny to me, but when you get that good news from the doctor, or when you fall in love with the Lord over and over again from reading about his greatness and personal study, in those times, sing this song as well. When life is hard, sing this song. When life is easy and it makes you see how great life truly is, sing this song all the more. We are given hope. And as we talked about last week in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that hope is secured by the resurrection of Christ that is reserved for us. Heaven is ready for us. John says, and quoting the words of Jesus in John 14, verses 1 through 3, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, he ascends to that place to prepare a place for us. And because of the clause he gave us in John chapter 14, if he goes, Acts 1, 9, he goes, then we know he will come again, Hebrews 9, 28. The first verse of the song On Jordan's Stormy Banks is written from the standpoint of an Israelite standing next to the River Jordan, either in a storm of life or a hard time or an actual storm that is surrounding him. And they are looking forward to a time when they are able to come into the land that was promised to their father and their father's father, to Abraham, that great land of Canaan. It is their true home that they anticipate. It is a place where they can finally be at rest after all this wilderness wanderings, after being in captivity for over 400 years. They finally are getting close to the promised land. The second verse can be seen as from our perspective or from the Israelites as well. And also, it can be both at the same time. As they look out over the fields that are before them, which to the Israelite would represent the field of the physical land of Canaan that is set out before them. And for us now, it can symbolize the crossing over from life to death that we all will face. There is the light of heaven on the other side of that field, and that light scatters night away, which can symbolize our assurance, ridding us of fear and doubt of what is going to come when this life is over. And then you get to the third verse of the song, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand." The third verse also can be written from both our and the Israelites' point of view. It talks about the hope of reaching our home, that is, after death, and how we will always be blessed there because we will be in the presence of the fullness of the glory of God, and we will forever rest in His strong embrace. And then it goes on to use the same language like that is used in Luke chapter 16, verse 22, talking about when the poor man died, he was welcomed by the bosom or the embrace of Abraham in paradise. And this verse takes it even further. It goes beyond paradise and it says in heaven. There is a greater level of comfort for us than in paradise, because it is no longer Abraham's bosom that we get to rest in, but God's. The fourth verse has the same point of view. It can be from our standpoint or it can be from the Israelites. Our delighted and raptured soul. I just want to make a brief side note here about that word rapture or raptured soul. Normally the word rapture is used in the context of the doctrine of premillennialism, but it's using its first definition, a feeling of intense joy. So with that meaning in mind, the fourth verse says, "Because of our hope in heaven, our delighted and extremely joyous soul cannot feel at home even though Jordan's waves, the storms of life that come and sometimes even threaten our physical life or are just the mental burdens that we have to deal with, those are the waves of Jordan, come in around us, we can fearlessly endure them. And if it comes to it, die in the Lord without fear for where we will go, because we are confident, we are assured of our salvation." The song is powerful in its joy and outlook on life. Though life gets hard, God and all that He has done for us, and our faith in Him and confidence in what is to come can preserve us in the harshest of storms, and we need to make sure that we are in a right standing relationship with God so we can have this kind of confidence, the kind of confidence that John had when writing Revelation 22, verse 20. After being told, "I come quickly," by Christ, he says, "Even so, Lord, come." He is anxious. He anticipates the return of Christ because he knows on that day, the day in which no one knows the hour, that day that is going to come as a thief in the night, that day that will come when no one expects it, on that day, we will be able to see our Savior's shining face and meet Him in the sky and spend eternity with Him from that point forward. May we live ready for the judgment day. May we live ready for tragedy. May we be found working when He returns, Matthew 24, 46. The song, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand," is an absolutely beautiful one. This lesson was short, but I wanted to do that for a reason. The rest of today, I want you to ponder this song. I want you to think about it. I want you to meditate on it. I want you to realize and focus on its words and how it relates to your life. I want you to think about if you are ready for the judgment day. Are you? Are you ready? Are you hopeful for what is to come after death? Maybe you don't know. Maybe you're not sure what's going to come next. Maybe you're not confident in your salvation. Maybe you just don't know enough, and that's okay. God doesn't expect us to know everything always. But we do need to trust in the promises God has made us. But sometimes that can be hard. When life around us gets so difficult, sometimes our reaction is to blame it on God. Because He's the one in control, isn't He? He's the one that has the power to fix all these issues of life. So why wouldn't He? That's a question for another day, but in short answer, He created the world to have its natural causes and natural disasters. You could even say it's a byproduct of having a self-sufficient and self-sustaining universe. But sometimes when life gets us down, when hardships come, and I'm not just talking about the hardships of when you're trying to go through that green light and it turns yellow and you don't quite have enough time to make it through safely, so you have to stop a little bit quicker than you would like to. I'm not talking about those hardships. I'm talking about the things that make you question life. I'm talking about the things that we rattled off a list of in the beginning of this lesson. And it may seem kind of annoying to think about it because it seems to be everywhere. But honestly, with a virus that doubles every 2 days in the amount of people it infects, right now can be kind of scary. But you know what? It's okay to be scared sometimes. Trust in God. Make sure of your salvation. But if you need to study to see what God wants from you, if you need to make your life right with God, why don't you do that today? Because we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know when the judgment's going to come. We don't know when tragedy is going to affect us. If you need to make your life right with God, may you do it while it is still today.